Merry Christmas. Welcome to worship this Christmas Eve. Glad you could come, and glad those who will be watching this online that you'll be able to participate at home. And just a couple of announcements. Our congregational annual meeting is scheduled for Sunday, January 10th, following the worship service. And we won't be having Sunday school or confirmation classes this next Sunday or on January 3rd. And those are the announcements. Are there any additional? All right. Did everyone get a candle? We'll be using those a little bit later in the service. All right, good. Good. You'll need that. We'll tell you what to do with it later on. All right. Well, we'll begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's sing the first two verses of I Am So Glad Each Christmas Eve. It's printed in your bulletin. You may remain seated. Of Advent is done. As the sun has set and light fades from the sky this Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle. This is to remind us that Jesus Christ came to bring us light and life. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's pause for a moment for silence and the tolling of the bell. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to this earth to help a world in need. Bless the service now as we come together in your name to worship you. Amen. Let's sing the last verse of I Am So Glad Each Christmas Eve.
And so I love each Christmas Eve, and I love Jesus too, and that he loves me every day, I know so well is true.
Angels from the realms of glory.
God with man is now residing. light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Stands o'er the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let us sing again, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." From Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I invite you to rise as you're able and let us sing, Hark the Herald. Remain standing for the reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Says His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the
you to rise as you're able for the reading of our message. Passage from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, I read in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is God's Word. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for being the Word who was made flesh, and for preserving the news of who you are and who we are and what your promises are to us, the truth which sets us free here in the Scriptures. Lord, as we hear your Word, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Did any of you look up in the sky tonight? Or perhaps maybe a couple nights ago, to see the Great Conjunction, is what they call it. Any show of hands? Anyone look? Okay. All right. Well, you can still see it. It's not as great as it was a couple nights ago, but it's a good night to see. What we're talking about, of course, is the alignment of our view of the planets from our little perspective point in the solar system, that the two big ones, Saturn and Jupiter, got really, really close a couple nights ago. Of course, they're millions of miles apart in actuality, but they're about a fingernail width apart from our perspective here. I'm somewhat interested in looking at these things. I'm not an expert, even an amateur astronomer, but I can identify usually Saturn and Jupiter and Mars and look at them through my game spotting scope and get a view. So loaded up some family members and whoever was interested in our van, and we went out looking for this great conjunction to see in the sky on what was it, Monday evening? Yeah. And so we did watch this event, and I'll have to confess, I was just a little bit underwhelmed. There's the bright one up there, and my eyes, it was the end of the day, and my contacts were kind of dry, and things were blurry, and throw a little astigmatism and presbyopia and all other kinds of optical problems. And I was like, oh, okay, there's this little blur up there. Not too impressive. It wasn't as bright as I thought it would be. But then I looked at it through the scope, and I go, oh, cool. It could see three of Jupiter's moons all kind of lined up, and then Saturn, and you could just make out the rings around Saturn. Well, that's cool. As with the unaided eye, I was rather unimpressed by this great conjunction. I was looking for something a little more flashy, a little more bright. But when I looked through the telescope, and then actually saw in more detail what was out there, and then began to contemplate how far away these astronomical bodies are from us, and how big they are, and how big the space is between them, and between us and them, and beyond them. did a little searching. I found out that our Earth, we can't even see the curve of the Earth from our perspective down here. You got to get really high above the surface of the planet, to start seeing, and you have to get a little ways farther to actually see the whole entirety of our planet. It's big. It's a big planet, and we're just little spots on it. But you could fit over 1,000 of our Earths inside of Jupiter. This little speck I was looking at through my telescope. 1,000 of our planets. And you could put 1,000 or so of Jupiter inside the sun. And then if you just spread out our solar system as kind of a flat disk of the orbit of the planets around the sun, and it's not perfectly flat, but just pretend it is. There's some guys who did a little back-of-the-envelope math and figured you could get about 42 million suns within the diameter of our solar system, around 38 to 42 million, roughly figuring. I'll take their word for it. That's big. And that's just our solar system. This is just a little corner of God's great universe. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, he ponders this and as he writes these words. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one. He calls them each by name. Because of his mighty power, his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Ever tried to count the stars? Just the ones you can see, which is just a smidge of the stars that are out there. The bigger the telescopes, the more they see, the more are out there. And God knows each one by name, and he puts them all in their proper place. Wow. Kind of puts a little perspective on my lack of being impressed by the great conjunction when you think of that. And keep that in mind now as we hear these words from John. Not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, the disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, who wrote these words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. How did God create the universe in Genesis? He spoke. And here, there's a connection with this as God the Son is referred to as the Word of God. He's the one through whom all things were created. He was the one who came into the world full of grace and truth. This passage from John not only tells us of the greatness of God, but also tells us of our smallness. It not only tells us about the light of life, but it tells us about the darkness into which this light came. J- Jesus, the Son, was with the Father in the beginning, before all this magnificent creation was spoken into existence. And He puts us, human beings, in this creation to enjoy it, to care for it. And what do? We turn away from our God in rebellion. And the fallout we have in Genesis 3. To the woman He said, "I'll increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam He said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." We've gone from the glory of God and the stars to the curse of sin. SARS. COVID. We're living it. The curse. The curse we brought on ourselves. Where sickness and death and discord and fear and darkness are set loose in the world. Jesus came as light. And it says in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." It hasn't grabbed hold of it, hasn't got a clue. And this Jesus, this light who comes into the world, that even though He made it, even though He made us, we didn't recognize Him. Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 1, that our minds become darkened in our understanding. We worship created things instead of the Creator, who is forever to be praised. So we go from the glory of the stars to the curse of SARS. That is the truth. And it's the reason He came. Because of the truth about Him and the truth about us. And the truth about Him is that He is full not only of truth, but of grace. Of grace and truth. See, truth alone for a sinner in the presence of a holy God is not enough. The truth is, we can't stand in the presence of a holy God. The God who made all of this. But grace with truth gives us reason for hope. It gives us reason to say Merry Christmas. Because to all who did receive Him, to all those who believed His name, He gave the right, the privilege, to become children of God. See, this God who was existent before anything we see here existed, already had us in mind from the creation of the world. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace of God's grace. And the light came full of grace and truth. Not only the truth about our sin, but the truth about a gracious God who loves his creation and would go to great lengths, to the ultimate length, to redeem us. We go from the stars to SARS to jars. Jars? Well, it rhymes with stars and SARS. But not only so, it describes what is declared here in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt and made his dwelling among us. Literally, he pitched his tent in our midst. The jars, to which I refer to, is what Paul writes of in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When he's talking about the glorious ministry, the great news that he is proclaiming, that God puts this great and glorious news, this redemption of light and life, this proclamation of God made flesh living among us. And what does he do? He puts it into us jars of clay, earthen vessels. Excuse me. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. That the creator of this vast universe brought in his plan of salvation in the way he did is beyond our comprehension. How unimpressive that God would become a weak, dependent, human infant. Wow. Jesus was born to a poor couple in a small village in a backwater area of the Roman Empire. Pretty unimpressive to those around who were only seeing with unaided human eyes and reason. And yet with the help of the Word which was declared about him in the prophets, with the announcements of the angels contemplating the truth of God's promises, there's something very impressive here. A Savior for you and me. God made flesh. God becoming the great creator becomes part of the creation and lives among us. He became like an earthen vessel like us to live among us. Now there is a great conjunction. And he brought it to the ultimate expression when he went to the cross and took our sins, yours and mine, upon himself. Behold your God. And rose again to show that he truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, this year we've seen plenty of evidence of death and of curse and darkness around us. But the light shines, It didn't just shine in the past. This is a present tense verb. The light shines. It still shines in the darkness, and the darkness still has not overcome it. The promise is still true for you and me today. To all who receive him, to all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, among you. And he chooses to use us, me and you, to declare this good news to others. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Now, in a few moments, we'll sing our closing hymn, Silent Night, and we'll have the lights lowered. You can find your candles. And we'll have someone come down the aisle and light who's ever closest to the aisle, and you can pass your light to your neighbor. It's just a suggestion. If you keep the lit candle upright and tip the unlit one, it prevents you from getting a hot wax treatment. So easy to forget, but just a suggestion. And once we have all the candles lit, we'll turn the lights down and sing Silent Night, which is printed in your bulletin. You're able.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Lamb of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you.